Life is lived with hopes and doubts. Now, when I'm talking about the word hope, hope also is believe. Hope is believing. I have hope, meaning you're believing that this is going to happen to you. You can't separate the two meanings of them. They're the same. But to have hope. But in the process of the hope that each of us have, folks, you're in a human body, in a human condition, with a human mind, and boy, is it messed up. And you are going to have your doubts. Now, does that mean that you don't believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Absolutely not. But it does mean, in your human condition, you will go through the battles of the hopes and the doubts in your life, the hopes of tomorrow, the doubts of tomorrow, and the doubts of yesterday. And God says, I want you to know that that's okay. Don't you understand that God is working with us? It is He who is on the inside of your mind dealing with the trials and tribulations on your behalf. So we say, well, why so often do I seem to lose? And I would ask you, why do you think that you're losing? Just because you have doubts? Just because pain and trial and tribulation come your way after you got saved? It seems to me like I remember a story of a Savior that went to that cross to die for you and me, and He had never committed a sin. Nothing evil in Him. And He went to that cross, the perfect man, to make sure that you and I understood that His love is going to supersede any doubt that you may have. And He died on that cross to give you and me hope. Promise of today, hope for tomorrow. He says, I want you to trust me. Difficult trust is. Never difficult to trust Jesus. Jesus has never let you down, has He? Jesus has never turned His back on you, has He? He's always there. As soon as you know you've had a bad case of the stupids, you look up and you realize that, and there's Jesus. Now, I'm not saying, Brother Randy, He ain't looking at you and going, oh, not again, kidder. But what I am saying is this. He loves me so much, despite my faults and my failures and my shortcomings. That love for me is going to supersede any evil that's going to come against me. I know that. So the Lord says, I want you to understand that in your life, you're going to be living it with hopes, and you're going to be battling the doubts. See, it's the doubts that drive Christians crazy, because we feel like we have committed the horrible sin because I'm doubting in my mind. But you had hope in your heart. Don't you understand? The human condition will pull you. It's a battle between you and the spiritual you. Oh, folks, from the psychology world of mine, you have multiple personality disorder. Do you not? How many people you think living in there? You think of that. You think of it when you lose your temper. You think of it when you're happy. You think of it when you're sad. You think of the multi-personalities that you come out with. If you're having trouble with it, men, ask your wife. She'll pull out the monsters within you. Are there some there? Yes. Do you know, again, I think I started it this way. Brother Randy, you are only human.
That's right.
And you messed up. That's life. That's where God comes down and he blesses us. You know how much he loves us? Look at the cross. Do you realize that he is always there with you? I have hopes, but I'm doubting on that. Well, let's look at something here. There was a father. Oh, he was so proud to become a father. And yet his son was born. The scripture says his son was born and had an evil spirit. And that evil spirit would send him into convulsions. That evil spirit would make it so rough on him that he would throw himself into the fire. He would go into spasms. He would foam. He was going in all sorts of different type of physical fits, they are called, where the body had lost control. The disciples were real excited because Jesus had just touched them spiritually and said, "Now, boys, everything you've seen me do, I want you all to get out there in the community and I want you healing the sick. I want you raising the dead. I want you in my name to touch lives." And they were doing exactly that. They were going around. They were healing the sick. They were raising the dead. They were doing whatever the need was because it was a special moment in time that Christ had declared, "Go to it." But this father, he looked up and he had hope. Maybe these guys, this Jesus is the answer. I'm taking my son to him. And as he brings his son to him, the disciples pray. The disciples do all manner of anointing and all that the demon would leave. But the child remained in that condition. And then I want you to picture this. Jesus was over here with a few of the disciples, and he comes back. I think there were six of them over there doing this other. And Jesus starts walking towards them then. The father of the son. Hey, when it comes to our kids, we watching after our kids. He looks up and he sees the man. He sees Jesus. He sees the power that of all of the disciples. And he grabs his son and he gets to Jesus. Are you catching this? The disciples going with him, Jesus moves in, and Jesus looks at them. And the Father says to Jesus in Mark 9:22-24, "The Spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him." Oh, you got to picture the heart of this daddy wanting to protect his son. And he's crying out to Jesus. He had hopes, but those hopes had been dashed by looking at the disciples, men just like us. They couldn't quite seem to follow through with a gift that God himself had given them. "Have mercy on us," the Father says, "and and help us. Then the Father made a statement that really got Jesus' attention. If you can, he can, people. Now listen to this. Listen to what Jesus said. What do you mean, if I can? What do you mean? See, Jesus had already been raising dead people and everything else around there. But the question was, if you can, help my son. It's amazing when we see the help for so many of us. But folks, when it comes home, Lord, help my family. Please, help my son. Jesus asked him, no, it's more of a statement than an ask, yet there's an ask in this. Anything is possible if a person believes. You had hope or you wouldn't be here, Dad. Anything is possible if a person believes. And then the father instantly cried out this statement. Listen to it well. This is you and me. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, Lord. It's not my trouble what I believe. It's what I don't understand and I don't believe. Help me with my unbelief. You know what Jesus said? Okay. He didn't chastise him. He said, okay. And Jesus looks down at his son. And he calls to the evil spirit in the boy. And he said, I command you. You've got to picture this. We command in Jesus' name. This is Jesus talking. And Jesus, in a conversation, well, not much two-way conversation going on here. But he looks at the demon and he said, I command you to come out of the boy and never to enter him again. And the boy went into seizures. A horrible type of a fit that he was going through, foaming at the mouth and all the people around looking. And the boy lays on the ground, calm but pale. And they'd said the boy is dead. Oh, I wished I could have been there. I should have been there. I'd wanted to be there. Brother Webster, I wished I could have been there. Can you imagine Jesus saying, Father, they're at it again. I've just done this and now they're declaring him dead. Jesus, you know what he does? He just reaches down his hand and grabs the boy's hand and the boy stands up on his feet, alive and demon free. Yet the father had hope that's what would happen. But also within him, there was doubt. You see, don't condemn yourself for your unbelief. Ask your Savior to fill you with the belief that you don't have, to give you strength to fight another day. Jesus had trouble with his own disciples. Every one of them knew that Jesus had taught them that he was going to die on that cross and he's going to be buried, and on the third day he was going to rise from the tomb, because he had to conquer death for you and me. He had to go down to the hell itself and clean it out for you and me. Because, Christian, I know this isn't going to hurt your feelings, but you do not have a reservation in hell anymore. Nope. You've been cleaned out. Nope. And you, because you have been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb, that desire inside of you, you don't want to see anybody go there. You don't want to see anybody go there. Don't you ever tell somebody to go to hell. You hear me? Don't you ever. Folks, if you only knew. I don't know, but I read about hell, and I don't want my worst enemy going there. That's how bad it is. And Jesus saw no need for anybody to ever have to go, because he was going to come to take care of the situation. He was going to come to take care and fulfill my hope and yours. He was going to come realizing that you're going to have doubts, because he dealt with it with his own disciples after the resurrection. Now I'm going to go back to tell the disciples. Yeah, it was the women. It went to the tomb, not the men. It goes to the tombs and go back to tell the disciples, our Lord has risen. He's not there. The tomb is empty. Thomas, I don't believe it. Peter and him ran to see for themselves. But see, they had their doubts that it had taken place. They had the doubts. But they had enough hope to run anyway to check it out. They also let them know in one of the scriptures that you're crazy, woman. Now think of that. She's coming singing praises to the promise of Christ had been fulfilled, and all they can do is say, you crazy. That couldn't happen. They were the ones that had the hope. They're the ones that walked with him. And Thomas says, I will not believe unless I can put my fingers in the holes in his hands and run my fist in his side where the spear went. Oh, Jesus heard that one. And Jesus shows up to Thomas. He does that a lot. Jesus showed up. Get over here, boy. That's a paraphrase, Randy. And as Thomas comes over, he said, Thomas, put your fingers in my hands. The holes were there. Oh, by the way, Thomas, go ahead. Stick your fist in my side. Jesus is in a glorified body, and the scars are beautiful in a glorified body. And then Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He believed. But listen to what Jesus says in John 20, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Now, here, let me give you a little bit more of a translation here also. The next sentence, blessed, actually is how much more blessed. How much more blessed are those who haven't seen me and they believe anyway. Oh, how much more blessed is this congregation than the disciples were Is you catching this? Jesus said, those who believe in faith, those who accept me on faith, that faith, believing, preached a whole sermon, or many on it. Think of it. And he said, how much more blessed are those that haven't seen me and they believe anyway? That's the church. That's us. I believe. But then, Larry, do you have doubts? I don't have any doubts about the cross. I don't have any doubts about that I'm saved. I don't have any doubts about that. What I have doubts about, what I will battle the most, is the doubts that I will have, just like his disciples did, because of their doubt. They couldn't cast out the demon because Jesus said it takes a lot of prayer here, boys, and that type of demon will only come out through prayer to my Father. You got that? Okay. I guarantee you, Jesus had already taught them a class on that one, Webster. He'd already told them. But it's hard for the human being to listen so often. And Jesus says, I am here. When I think about this, I want you to think of this, of the power of Jesus. The power that God Almighty is given to us and has made available to us. What's not to believe and hope about that power? What's not to believe and hope? Listen to Scripture, Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. God cannot tell lies. Now, this is a pastor that always has trouble saying God can't do anything. But God had set it in motion himself that he could not tell lies. He's not a human. God is spirit. He doesn't deal with the lies. God cannot tell lies. And so his promises... Now, what to hold on to here? And so his promises and his vows are two things that can never be changed. He promised me, I'll see you in heaven. Larry, I'm going to make a home for you. And when I get through with everything, I'll come back and receive you unto me. Now, I believe that. I do. Jesus can't lie. We have run to God for safety. Now, his promises should greatly encourage us to take hold of the hope that is right in front of us. This hope is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls. In fact, hope reaches behind the curtain. The Holy of Holies in the temple was behind the curtain, the big curtain. Nobody went back there. If you walked back there, you died. Because that was God's place where he was in the temple, the old temple. Now he's in your heart. A lot of power in that heart of yours. It's a firm and steady anchor for our souls. In fact, hope reaches behind the curtain and to the most holy place. Meaning that hope reaches and holds the hands of our Savior. That's a powerful, powerful hope, folks. A warning that I will give to each of us, and I will give to America. I will give to our children and to those who will listen to this warning. If you succumb to doubt, if Satan wins out in your life to where you say, I just don't believe, and you push that to the point of no return, as some would say, sending away your day of grace, then I want you to listen to what happens. because the United States of America, as you hear me say often, or all the time, is the greatest nation that's ever been known, superseding all. For we are founded on God's word, God's truth, God's mercy, God's grace, ready to welcome whosoever will, ready to reach out a hand of hope, but with guidelines, with direction. You're not going to murder the innocent. You're not going to rob them. You're not going to do all manner of evil against them. No. And the laws were established based on Judeo-Christian beliefs, the laws of our nation and our children. And the majority of us was born into a nation. Well, all of us were, really, compared to the other nations. We were born into a nation that handed us the opportunity for success in life, to have plenty to eat, clothing galore, transportation, friends, peace. For we have law enforcement that protects us as we sleep, and a military that protects us from the foreign nations that will do harm to us. But Moses gave a warning to the people of Israel. We should heed the warning, because it's the same warning that comes to the United States of America. When you go into the promised land, you think that America's not the promised land? Why do you think everybody wants to come here? Have you seen anybody lately storming the boundaries of China, trying to get in there? Or any of the other communist countries trying to go there? Why do they want to come? When you go into the promised land, because we're the promised land, promise of hope, a society that realizes that if they strive, if they work, if they act right, humanly speaking, that they can become successful and in the process help others. When you go into the promised land and you live in cities that you didn't build, I didn't build any of the cities. I live in a beautiful city out of E-Town. Those of you who live in Vine Grove, you live in a beautiful city. That city is made beautiful because of the freedoms that are here. And you move into a house that you didn't build. You didn't build it. God blessed you with the money to buy it, but you didn't build it. And you drank water from wells that you didn't dig. Had no idea how to purify water. In Vietnam, you boil it. Now, I'll take that back. In Vietnam, you drank what you got out of a half-track hole that was left. But in America, you got the clean water, the well is dug, and you eat from vineyards that you didn't plant. What a gift. Be careful. Listen to what Moses was warning them about. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord. You hear that warning? After you get it, then you forget God? You forget who gave it to you? You forget to give him honor? You forget to thank him for the blessings of your life because you got it so good? Who do you think made it that good for you? The warnings are here for us. The scripture teaches us what we should do, how we should act, how we should put up with each other. Sometimes it ain't easy putting up with each other. But we are fellow Christians. God says, I want you to put up with each other. Randy Kidder, I want you putting up with your pastor. Lord! Yep, agony. But that's a charge from God with love. You got that? And God says, love one another. For the world will see your love for each other, and the world will glorify me. Because it takes a special spirit to give you the strength to love one another. That's God's word. And it don't get better than God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for your truth. Direct our hearts now, Father, that our hearts will be focused on peace for others. And in so seeing them find peace, we find that peace within our own heart. Thank you, Father, for touching lives, for changing lives, for caring about each of us. We ask your blessing now for the week ahead, for the individual journeys that will be made for members right here in your congregation at Vine Grove Baptist. Touch our life. Lead us, Lord, in the time ahead. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. During a time of invitation, the invitation is always the same. The invitation is always an invitation to choose Jesus. Always an invitation for you to pay attention to others. Always an invitation to express love. Let's stand together. Brother Randy.
Whatever decisions you need to make today, don't put it off till tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know right here, right now, if God is dealing with you, come on up. Talk to Brother Larry. Pray. Whatever it is that God leads you to do, do it now.
Open your heart this week. There's a lot of hurting people out here. There's going to be a whole lot more hurting people out here. Open your heart with love and make sure that whenever you see a kid, give them a smile, please. You know, that can just make a kid's week, knowing that some adult smiled at them and they heard a kind word. For it's not guaranteed that they always hear that at home, but it should be a guarantee they'll always hear it from a Christian brother or sister.